Hi, I'm Philip Shepherd. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this amazing once-in-a-lifetime conference, and especially to the Meditation and Breathwork channel, which I'm proud to be sponsoring because meditation and breathwork are essential to my teachings. I'm the founder of the Embodied Present Process, or TEP, which is based on my two books and is taught worldwide. And here's one thing I believe about meditation and breathwork. You limit your experience of both if you imagine that your mind is just the thoughts in your head. Your mind permeates your every cell. Every stirring of energy within your body is an expression of it. So, if you wish to calm your mind, the most direct route is to develop the skills that enable you to feel the body's energy and ground it in the spaciousness of the present. That's what my work is about. If that appeals to you, I hope you'll check out my two presentations, one on this channel and one on the main stage. You might also be interested in a special offer exclusive to the Embodiment Conference to listen to one of my embodied meditations for yourself for free. You can find a link to the special offer in the description of this presentation or on the show notes. And now, enjoy the presentation.
G'day everyone, and welcome to the Meditation and Breathwork channel. It's our final full night of the conference, so it's nice to have you all back. And it's a pleasure here for me to introduce Vinny Ferraro. So Vinny is the guiding teacher of the Big Heart City Sangha and the co-founder of Dharma Punks. He's empowered and teaches the Buddhist insight tradition. So he serves as he's a nationally recognized leader in designing and implementing mindfulness interventions for educators and incarcerated populations. And his teachings have touched a hell of a lot of people. And lucky for him now, I'm introducing him because he doesn't like to talk about himself in third person. So he's going to be talking about coming home today. So exploring practices that save us from constant preoccupation with a thinking mind and deliver us back to the present moment. He'll be discussing and practicing realistic ways to come home, including the near enemies of presence and what gets in the way. So Vinny, you may take us away.
Thank you, Steve. How's my sound, Steve? It's okay?
It's perfect. That's great. Actually, I'll just say as well, please raise your virtual hands if you want to join Vinny in the room, because he does like virtual real humans to look at rather than himself as much as we do like looking at ourselves.
Yeah. Well, welcome everyone. Thank you for joining me for this hour, and we'll get right to it. I think it's pretty common for us to have a story that we contend with. You know, one of my friends, his question is, is he smart enough? So everything in his life keeps coming back to that question for him. For me, it was, am I lovable? You know, the house I grew up in, sometimes love would be withdrawn. And so that's a question for me a lot, right? That gets in the way of presence. So let's just say, I'm married, happily married, and I'm kind of romantic. So I'll fill the house with flowers and candles, and my sweetie will come in. And if I am stuck in that story, which is very natural, I don't get any feelings of generosity. I'm still just wondering, is this enough? Am I lovable now, right? If I'm not in that story, if I wake up to the presence of that story and I could let it go and get back to the feelings of love and generosity and everything else that might be present, it's a completely different experience. Same situation, same conditions, right? So we come by it all so honestly. So whatever the story is, know that. How does it keep us from arriving and fully enjoying our lives, inhabiting our lives? So when I think about embodiment, I think about how much that I want my life back. I don't want to just pay attention to the endless narration of my life through the thoughts of my mind. You know, the planning mind is good for many things, but it can really keep us from arrival. You know, we have this feeling that we continue to get ready for our lives, but it can always feel a bit out of reach. That all our strategies for achieving happiness and getting it right, it can feel like a lifetime of that. So it turns out that we actually have to practice presence, right? And this feeling that many of us come when we start sitting is that there's a certain way that we can be at odds with our experience. You know, some way of being at war with our experience, which completely removes us from the present moment, which is the only place we can be free. So watch carefully for anything that takes you away from presence. All the little detours, all the regret, like, oh, I wonder how long I've been gone. Well, what are the breadcrumbs? I got to figure out what that was. It's like, hold on. Let's bottom line this thing. Is your practice delivering you to the present moment or from the present moment? Right? That's an easy way to understand what we're doing here. When it delivers me to the present moment, then we get to focus on, well, what are we practicing? Jonathan Foyer writes, I thought myself out of happiness a million times and never once into it. So we begin to wake up to the habituated, conditioned, deeply patterned mind. And like I said, one of the things that gets in the way is our stories. And usually there are stories about trusting our own hearts, you know? Well, maybe it's doubt in some way, right? So how do we practice deepening our presence and waking up out of that dream? That's what I want to talk about. And we'll go back to the Buddha. You know, we hear all of these stories, of the mythology of the Buddha battling Mara, right? Battling these negative parts of his own mind, right? I imagine that in that battle, he was letting go for dear life, right? Just letting go, letting go, letting go. And what makes the story particularly poignant for me is that in that final battle, he sticks his hand into the earth, you know? That was his moment of enlightenment. That was him waking up out of his self-doubt, right? The important part for me was not that, because it didn't mean that the doubt disappeared, but that he saw through it, that he touched the ground of loving presence, the ground of being. Not his story of it, but the direct reality of it. And if we follow him, what happens next? He becomes enlightened? Okay. Did Mara stop coming? No. No, Mara continued. Now, imagine yourself in that situation. What that must have been like. If I saw Mara come back, I might have taken that as an indicator I must not be enlightened. Thankfully, that's not the meaning the Buddha assigned to it. So even though he came at least 40 times, the Buddha kept seeing through it. So we have to make sure that we're not setting up the conditions for failure. We don't do these things or tend to these stories or whatever gets in the way, like it's an obstacle. We know that whatever is in the way is the way, right? So Rudolf Steiner, the great educator, said, unless I love something, it will not reveal itself to me. So how do I stop judging the presence of these obstacles and see them as doorways? So you're like, okay, here we are again. Doubt, my old friend, unlovability, whatever the story is, it doesn't matter. We don't allow it to have us lose touch with the felt sense of being here. Because if we do, then we're living in a state of suspended happiness, right? Contingent on me being a success or finally being lovable or getting the promotion. You know, we stop waiting for a future that rarely arrives. We let go of these constructs that it's somewhere else. You know, whenever I think that another moment is going to hold what this one doesn't, I'm running a game down on myself. It doesn't matter if I can be free in the future. Now is the only time I can be free. So it helps me as I'm going into a session, you know, we'll do some meditating together. It helps me to keep in mind, well, what might be helpful the next time I get caught up in that story? What do I want to remember? What will help me reach out and touch the ground of presence? Another thing I like to keep in mind is this a helpful place for my attention? We have this really powerful awareness. And most of the time, it's just stuck on reruns of rehashing and rehearsing everything that's ever happened, anything that I think might happen. So it's always involved in time travel. You know, future past. But we have to train presence. And many times throughout my day, I'll find that if the mind is not offering up anything helpful, it's best to redirect my awareness, right? Maybe to the body, or maybe to my emotions. There's so many dimensions, all of them deeper than thought, right? Because we're not doing the thinking. I mean, I don't want to take credit or blame for what's happening in this madhouse. And when we stop giving our undivided attention to our thoughts, fears, and doubts, we don't miss so many moments that we actually feel okay, right? Yeah. Sometimes or many times throughout a day, I check in to see if there's a fundamental okayness. You know, despite the mind, despite all my hopes and fears and everything else, it's like, dude, are you okay? And I put my feet on the floor and I just try to feel into that direct contact. It's not a story. It's like right here, right now, grounded. Are you okay? And generally, I can find it. And it's beautiful. Even for that moment, just say, time out, time out. Yeah. had this dear friend. He was my Dharma brother, and we lived together for over a decade. And I was blown away by his ability to meet me where I was at, you know? Always, you know, like over the course of decades, this dude would just drop in and meet me. And I said, how do you do that, bro? Like, what practice is that, dude? Because I want to get down with that. And he said, look, man, wherever you cut the cake, I'll be there singing happy birthday. I don't know if I'll ever say anything that beautiful of the sentiment of how to practice. Yeah. Thich Nhat Hanh, the great peace activist and Zen master, he puts it in his own way. He just turned 90 last Sunday, if you don't know, and he's stopped taking food. So who knows how long he'll be with us, but his teachings have really touched my heart. And in particular, he said, if you don't know you're happy, you're not happy. Hold on. If you don't know you're happy, you're not happy. I remember the first thing I thought was how mad I was that nobody ever told me that. How many moments of happiness have I missed because I was paying attention to the bullshit of the mind? This really boring narration, generally. It's like, okay, so I'm used to checking in with a fundamental okayness. And this is like even another level of like, oh, actually, I am pretty happy. I just wasn't in the habit of checking. So, you know, this gets to be a full contact practice, an all-terrain practice, right? Because I don't live in just like on my cushion. So we open up to all the different flavors of love, because that's what I actually want to be practicing, right? That's what I'm inclined to practice. It's the four flavors of love. So sometimes it's the kind of love that celebrates, right? And sometimes it's the kind of love that hurts, right? That compassion. Or sometimes it's joyful. And sometimes it's the kind of love that needs to let go, right? That equanimity. So we trust in these heart practices. And that's how we respond, right? Theodore Isaac Rubin said, kindness is more important than wisdom. And the recognition of this is the beginning of wisdom. One more time for the people in the back. Kindness is more important than wisdom. And the recognition of this is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah. So we could be in a celebration at the possibility of freedom in every moment. Which, you know, is coming up against a time like this, right? Where we're, let's just say, a time of fragmented awareness, right? I think that's safe to say. There's a lot of things vying for our attention. Important things. And there's a delight in giving our undivided attention to anything. To any one thing, right? Even when you're doing the dishes, right? When you're doing it with great care, when each dish is that newborn baby Buddha, there can be a joy in it. Otherwise, How can we expect a fraction of our awareness to assess the fulfillment of a moment? You know, we can't do that with just a little piece of our awareness find fullness. So the fullness is in how we give ourselves to an experience, right? Christine Caldwell writes, the state of being permeable is where most of our joy resides, where our pleasure and others' pleasure in us dwells. Our joy derives not so much from the ice cream, but from the willingness to be permeable to our experience of it. So our satisfaction in life comes from not pushing away the grief, but in feeling so moved and filled and permeated by it that we come to the center of all life. We're never far from presence, my friends. It's just like a breath away. This coming home. Yeah. We see the mind is constantly creating the world. Right? So we create a kind world, right? If that's what we incline the mind toward, right? So every cell in our body is eavesdropping on our thoughts, right? It can hear it. The call is coming from inside the house, right? So the role of mindfulness is to call attention to what lies beneath the surface of awareness. Yeah. You know, Ramana Maharshi said, as you think yourself to be, so you think the world to be. If you imagine yourself separate from the world, then the world will appear as separate from you, and you will experience desire and fear. I don't see the world as separate from me, so there's nothing for me to desire or fear. Obviously, that is an ultimate view, but I think there's value in it, right? They say that every path shares the same aim. To save us from the calamity of a separate existence. Yeah. So we get to do this ride any way we want, right? This can be a prison or a playground. I have spent time in both, and I know the difference. This practice becomes remembering to land and embody each precious moment. Yeah, Jonathan Swift said, may you live all the days of your life. Yeah, so that becomes our practice, waking up. Nisargadatta said, it may be best. I'm a big fan of Nisargadatta Maharaj. And he said, to know that you're a prisoner of your own mind, that you live in an imaginary world of your own creation, that's the dawn of wisdom. So dig that for a second. The dawn of wisdom is you wake up imprisoned. But there can't be any chance of freedom if we can't see how we're locked up. I love the way he put that. That we live in an imaginary world of our own creation. I know that's right. So when we begin to see through these stories, right? See through them, not as a filter, but actually see through them, we could actually see other people that have awakened out of that trance, right? When we trust the goodness that's here, that we've been training, right? We begin to inspire that in others, and that is just, is beautiful. Yeah. Okay, a couple more thoughts and then we'll go into the sit. Because my hope is that we can walk into the world in a more real way. Yeah. That big love. That's what I want to do. You know, I don't want to live in that small identity. I want my life back, my belonging to life. You know, I want to live in real relationships, not my unworthiness meeting your unworthiness. I want to see who's really here. And if that's what we practice, then that's what we'll wake up to, right? So I want you to think about this session like a permission slip, that you just can't do it wrong, that there are no enemies in experience. That'd be a good place to start. And, you know, that's why we anchor or tether ourselves to the present moment, because this is the only time we're actually engaging in reality. Everything else is a story. The only time I could be alive, loving, or free is in this moment. Doesn't matter if I love you next month, or I'm gonna be free in 2 years when I finally get it. This is all postponing. And keep in mind what I said. Is your practice delivering you from the present moment or to it? There's an experience for us that is alive right now, and it has the ability to cut through the storyline. I like to think about it like a love affair. I'm in a love affair with awakening. And I try to keep in mind that, you know, I've worked with kids, mostly incarcerated youth. And I know, and as one of them, that the kids that need love the most will ask for it in the most unlovable ways. So I try to keep that in mind, because it's true about the places where I need love the most. So I'm not trying to hate myself into becoming a better person. I've given up on that. If that would have worked, it would have already. What we're practicing can be seen in our response. If we're frustrated every time the mind wanders, it'll be endlessly frustrating. What leaves the taste in our mouth is our response. So I'm going to invite you to let awareness be like that golden, sweet, honey sunset light that they're trying to catch in the movies, that it doesn't matter what it shines on, it's beautiful, it's all welcome. And so whether we feel like we got love coming or not, maybe the jury is still out on it, you know, whether we're worthy of it or whatever game we're playing. But for the next half hour, let's just say we got friendliness coming. Cool. We're talking about coming home to ourselves. And so many of us may know what it felt like to be estranged from our own experience. But I want to tell you that homecoming should have a celebratory quality. I would have went home a lot more if it was a friendlier place. So we soften our gaze and really get our friendliness on. And I don't use words like kindness and gentleness just because I want you to feel good. I use them because they're hell of effective. Yeah. Yeah. So every place you want to muscle up on your experience, see if you can soften. As Ryokan reminds us, it's possible to be at ease with our unease. So don't take it as a sign that something went wrong. This is just the next thing to care about. The next thing to care about. The next thing to care about. That's all. So, so let's put it to practice. We will start in 1 minute because my computer's about to die and I gotta get the power cord. I'll be back in 60 seconds.
And if anyone would like to join the main room for this part of the session so that Vinny can sort of keep an eye on anyone, please do raise your virtual hands. You won't be on the recording if that's the case. I'll have Vinny spotlighted, but it just means us in the room can see you.
All right, dear ones. Hey, nice to see some faces. Hey, y'all. Hi. Thank you so much for coming. Meet me in my backyard. Yeah. This is the deck. This is where I do most of my sitting because I got a four-year-old boy in the house that's like a wild animal. So, you know, sometimes I do practice near him, but it usually involves me being in a headlock, you know. Anyway, I find the outdoors, this display of life and death, to be completely beautiful. So thank you. Thanks for making time. All right. Okay, so I invite you to find a posture that imbues dignity. You know, you could be upright, but not uptight. And allow your attention to turn inward. Maybe just stretch out your neck a little bit. Take care of your body in whatever way feels right. Because that's where we start, right? We start in the body. And I invite you to close your eyes if you're comfortable with that. It really helps us bring our attention inward so we're not too distracted by the world of form. And just as we begin, right, we're going to begin just by letting go of any demands we have on this moment being a certain way. That's the first thing we let go of. Just take a moment to just rest, right? We don't have to do the meditating. Just rest in this kind of awareness. Let yourself catch up with your body. And welcome yourself to the present moment. And because we're not trying to keep up with how fast the mind might be spinning, it's kind of a relief to just rest in this kind of awareness. And bringing your attention to your body and all the contact points. Feet on the floor. The chair, the cushion, the couch, whatever's supporting you. Not imagining it, not picturing it, but what is the felt sense of this body sitting here breathing? And this breath is a lifelong friend, been with you from the first moment. So paying attention to the qualities of this breathing that's been breathing you for a lifetime. How does the body know that it's breathing from the inside out? Maybe you can feel the rising and falling of the belly or the chest. Or the airflow in your mouth, nose, throat, wherever it feels strongest, allowing your attention to just rest on those sensations. And it's good to keep in mind that the practice is not to forbid awareness from wandering. That would be an act of violence, a force of will. We're not doing that. That's not what we're practicing. What we're practicing is welcoming it back every time it does wander. Notice that wakefulness that solicits us when we're lost in the daydream. And we remember, oh, that's right. I was meditating, right? That doesn't have to be a walk of shame back to the present moment. It gets to be a celebration, a welcome home. Doesn't matter how long we've been gone. Welcome back. Nice to see you. Come on in. Trusting that wherever we are is the entry point. And sensing into what's between you and being free right now in this very moment. Touching into that fundamental okayness that may be present if we check for it. Whatever story we have that keeps us in that loop, that still gets to be there, but it doesn't deserve our undivided attention. It's not the only guest at the party, so what else is happening? Part of opening the door is noticing what confines us. What is the cost to believing these stories? And being at odds with our experience, being at war in some way with an aspect of our conditioning. If the Buddha was leaving us a message that would reach through time and space over 2,600 years, what I hear is, it's not about you. We'll see if there can be a natural compassion that arises. In regards to these stories, these fears, these doubts, whatever form they take. And connect with that sincere longing to be free, to touch the ground in this very moment. As we call in presence, and call upon that place of our deepest knowing, our highest self, and our own wisdom and compassion. And how does it see? How does it experience this conditioning that makes us judge ourselves? That makes us jealous or fearful. So we want to acknowledge whatever conditioning is there, whatever we're working with. But also see it through the eyes of compassion and the goodness that's there. That gets to be there too. And your deepest intentions get to be there. What you really care about. And see if there's a message from this part of your own knowing that can help you step out of story and into the truth of who you really are. What do you want to remember when you get caught? In the face of all I have avoided and survived, the heart softens. Again, wherever you find yourself in this very moment, feel your feet on the floor. And don't let your experience be dominated by your thoughts, fears, doubts. They don't get to be the only guest at the party, because we're rolling with our own posse. Training that we've been doing with this heart. In just a minute or two left, what direction can you send love in now? To your heart, the emotional body, to the physical sensations. What flavor of love are you practicing in this very moment, my friends? So I am interested in your experience. What was that like for you? Put your hand up and put your voice in the room, y'all. I am talking to you. Don't make me call on you. Don't make me blow your spot up like that. I won't be that dude, but I will be that dude. Who's down? Who's going to jump in this warm-ass water with me? You got me, Linda? All right.
Yeah.
Beautiful. What's up?
I was really focusing on my breath. One of the things I've learned is that there's some words I can say as I breathe in and as I breathe out. And a few days ago, I heard this: when I breathe in, I am love. And then when I breathe out, I say the two words, I love.
Beautiful. Oh, that's beautiful.
So I think the hardest thing for me is trying to be compassionate to my self, critical self, when I start thinking of things. And then I just have to remember, just bring my breath back, bring my breath back. So your guidance and reminded me about that. I need to remember to say that to myself when I'm meditating, because I've found meditation to be really helpful in my waking life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, for me, I find meditation to be very helpful, particularly when it doesn't have the stain of that subtle violence of self-improvement. You know what I mean? Like the great project that I'm working on, you know? And it's just like, come on with that, man. Go ahead, bro. You ain't gonna get there like that. You ain't gonna get to love by kind of hating yourself into becoming a better person. My whole family be enlightened if that worked, right? So, you know, we don't want to take that training, you know? Yeah. Thank you, Linda. Thanks for putting your voice in.
Thank you.
Who else, y'all? What was that like? Even if you hated it, I'd love to hear it. That would be great for me to hear. Anybody that wants to put their voice in.
I'll also add, you can raise your virtual hands and I can unmute you without you needing to come into the main room. So you can just be unmuted.
Oh. Thank you, Steve. All right, Fanny, we'd love to hear from you.
I speak Spanish.
Cool.
So I only understand some words and some other words now, but it was wonderful because I began to listen to the birds and your tenderness, and I lost the all the words, and I was in a very peaceful space with love, and that's so good. It was as if I was there in your garden, or because I couldn't understand everything, so that was good for me. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, my name brought me home. You know, I have. I've butchered this English language, so excuse me, you know, my slang and the way I speak is probably not so helpful to folks that speak other languages. So thank you for your generosity and staying with it and feeling the felt sense instead of each word. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Anybody else, y'all? Anybody else that would put their voice in?
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an adventure. I felt like a bit of, you know, I was opening my eyes episodically because it was like, it was my first time experiencing meditation, like online with the people that I don't know. I was but it was, I really loved the coming home part, you know, because I just, when you said, you know, welcome home, I felt, oh, I'm home, I'm safe. So I'm safe. Yeah. I can, you know, surrender. Yeah, it was really like, it was really nice.
Oh, yeah. So glad. Where are you?
I'm in Ireland.
Ireland.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it wasn't?
It was really like so much about feeling safe in the body. Yeah. And like, and I felt like it maybe it was my first time welcoming myself home. Yeah. Like honestly, I've never thought about it. I always had this, oh, like my mother has to smile. I have to smile when children come home. But like, how about welcome? You know, because I have this like, oh, episodes like everybody has when I'm not in the body. I was like, you were not in the body again. So it was nice. There's no pressure, and it was like really welcoming. This transition, this part, it's a tiny bit of crucial, like this critical part of me just give up. It was like,
that's, you know, right.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank
beautiful.
You so much.
Yeah. You know where I got it is, you know, when I meditate, I feel very at home, and then all of a sudden awareness wanders, and I'm in the middle of the street. I don't remember leaving, but then I'm back at my door, one breath, and I'm like, oh, here I am again. So it's like this amnesia where I just keep walking in my door. You know, it's like every moment, it doesn't have to be that walk of shame back to the present moment, like something went wrong, you're a bad meditator. That's all BS, you know? So I try to just stick with the felt sense of like welcoming myself back to the present moment. And if my mind wanders a lot, I get to welcome myself back a lot. There's no losing. Right. Mm-hmm. But when I think awareness should just stay, then it's just like endlessly frustrating because it never does, even 25 years into practice. So I've kind of reframed it for myself, because when I walk in, it's like if I start criticizing, like how long you've been gone and this whole place needs to be remodeled. Look at that carpet. It's from the 80s, you know. It's like, hold on, I still haven't arrived. Or if I throw it into reverse and do some performance evaluation, like, well, how did I get off track? That's just more non-arrival. So I just do my best to just welcome, welcome, welcome. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And so there's a real sense of the sweetness of homecoming. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for putting your voice in. All right, yeah.
And I was just going to say, and as much as we'd like to continue the homecoming, I have to wrap things up so you can. So I just want to point out as well, Claire did say she loved it, love you in the chat, and Diane also said, so love it, reminding us not to beat up on ourselves. I laughed out loud listening to you. It was so freeing. Oh, beautiful. So thank you so much, Vinny. That was, I really love. I didn't particularly join in because I want to keep an eye on things here, but just the embodiment of it is just like relaxing and freeing. Whilst not actually necessarily doing it, your embodiment shines through. So thank you for that. Just a couple of announcements before I throw it back to Vinny. So if anyone would like to, we're trying to break even today. We're almost up, broken even, and came out of our $1 million of debt to put the conference on. So if you would like to upgrade, get the package to own all the recordings for the rest of your life or get part of them or anything like that, you can upgrade and do so. We appreciate it as a thank you to us, because you buying them means everyone else can have access for free. So if you do want to do that, do that. If you want to go to the coffee break rooms and hang out with other humans, talk about how this was, meet some other people in the community, you can also head across the coffee break rooms, links in the chat. Or finally, Facebook group. If you just want to hang out in the Facebook group, we invite presenters to put all events they're having in there as well, so they can actually, so you can follow that on there or join discussions. Tell us what future events you want to see, because we'll be running some next year. So all those things are there. Now I can post Vinny. You can find him in case you're not here and can't click on the chat. I believe he is at vinnyferraro.org, VinnyFerraro.org. Anywhere else you want to send people, Vinny?
Yeah, I'm going to put it in the chat box right now. That's Big Heart City. That's the name of our Sangha in San Francisco. It's been about 16 years. We've been sitting together. Obviously, now we're sitting online, so you can join in every Friday night without fail. And we're going to do 3 nights in a row right after the election, no matter which way it goes, because we want to support our peoples. And we're doing a day long on December 5th. So it'd be 7 hours on the deck, and we'll just kind of sit together online and just practice. yeah, practice that coming home. So thank you so much. Thank
Perfect.
You.
So that's bigheartcity.org for anyone. Facebook posts are up forever, by the way. And yeah, so do check out all that stuff. And now as a final thing, before we close this room and head over to the keynote session with A.H. Almas, or you can join us back in 3 hours with Acharya Gaylong Ferguson. Vinny, what would be your top tip to be more embodied?
Come out of the mind, come into your body. That's what it is for me. How many times a day? Catch and release. Catch and release. Yeah.